7-4, please.
Kathy Egan here.
Stu Martinez, present.
Rick Jones, present.
Karen Ward, present.
And Ken Mullax is present. This time I'd like to ask you to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, and I'd like to ask Rolando, would you lead us in the pledge?
I would.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Rolando.
Welcome.
Item 4 is added agenda items.
Yes, we have 4 added agenda items tonight. One is a consolidation of our bank accounts. Two is public usage roads. Three is Glenwood Acres water supply. And 4 is a deed dedication for Kegel Road. So we're in consolidated bank accounts, talk about public usage roads, Glenwood Acres water supply, and deeds on Kegel Road.
Okay. And I think we'll just leave those for item 15?
Yes.
Okay. Item 5 is the consent agenda. Is there any corrections or changes or additions to the consent agenda?
Mr. Mayor, I need to state a possible conflict with the bill to vote this way.
Let the record reflect Councilor Martinez has a conflict of that nature.
Thank you.
Possible. Thank you, Stu. Is there any other comments or questions about the consent agenda? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Move that we approve the consent agenda.
It's been moved.
I second it.
And seconded to approve the consent agenda. All those, any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Let the record reflect that it's unanimous approval of consent agenda. Thank you. This time, item 6 is public comment. Are there any public comments? Hearing none, I will move on to item number 7, ordinance number 2014-01, an ordinance granting California Broadcasting Inc., an Oregon corporation, doing business as Crestview Cable Communications, the right privileges to operate a cable system in, along, upon, across, above, or, and or under the right public right-of-way within the city of Lapine. Any discussion?
First, I'll declare a conflict of interest. I did not get involved in this because I have business relationships with Crestview Cable and that corporation. And so this was handled by the mayor and the attorney, so we're going to consult the attorney and let him discuss it.
Okay.
Good evening, counselors. The ordinance you have in front of you is, in effect, a franchise agreement with Crestview Cable, as Ken just identified. Initially, or shortly after the city's incorporation, the city entered into a similar franchise agreement with Crestview Cable. That franchise expired on or about May 1st of 2012. This particular franchise agreement serves as a continuation. There are some changes that are reflected in this franchise agreement, changes to what was initially in place, such as a minor expansion to the franchise fee, and some other elements that I believe protect the city's interest. And so what you have in front of you is a 10-year franchise agreement. Should you approve it? Do you have any questions for me?
Jeremy, you might spend a minute or two on a franchise agreement, because we have several new councilmen.
As to what it constitutes.
What are they? Why do we do what
absolutely.
The right way?
So a franchise agreement is essentially an agreement that permits a franchisor like Crestview Cable. And by the way, Michael Heron is here from Crestview. And Mayor, if you wouldn't mind, if Mike could come up to the
podium, that would be wonderful. Sure, I was going to call him up after you finish, but Mike, please join us.
It basically provides the company, Crestview in this case, the privilege to operate their business over our right-of-way, the public right-of-way. Some people construe the franchise agreement to be a license, construe it to be a permit. For all practical purposes, basically we are granting them a privilege or the right to operate over our rights-of-way. In exchange for that, they pay the city a franchise fee. The franchise fee component in this particular agreement is spelled out, bear with me here,
6.1.
Thank you, in section 6.1. I would consider this franchise fee provision to be fairly standard from my perspective. Mike may have some differing opinions on that. But the bottom line is we are assessing a fee in exchange for use of our right-of-way. We are also putting control or limits, restrictions on the franchisor's ability to use the right-of-way, such as maintaining the right-of-way, improving the right-of-way, and indemnifying us, for example, should any damages or harm come to the city as a consequence of Crestview's use of the right-of-way. Mike, do you have any comments, maybe, or
which button do I hit?
Hit the red one, Mike, and then get that right up, pull that forward, kind of that whole deal. You're not talking.
There you go. Thank you, Mayor and Jeremy. My name is Mike O'Heron. I'm the general manager of Crestview Cable. My office is in Prineville. We serve cable systems in Lapine, Madras, and Prineville. And we are a second generation company. The same ownership has owned our company for some 30 plus years. We are a privately held family owned business that I'm not associated with other than being an employee. Happy President Lincoln's birthday today, February 12th. Jeremy did a good job of summarizing, I think, for us both. The franchise is a 10-year franchise, and I hope this is the last one I do with the city of Lapine, because I hope to retire sometime before then in 2024. I hope to be alive in 2024. Yeah. And so I'm glad to be here. And this project or this endeavor has been about probably 6 months long or so. That's probably normal in my experience. I've done franchises in Portland, Seattle, and Lapine, and many other places in between. I love it in a smaller city. And the reason I like it is Jeremy and Ken, they drove a tough bargain in some cases. The number of differences we had was fairly minor, really, in total number. The gentlemen were, they represented you well, but they're fair and they listen. And that's all you can ask for in my experience. And they did a good job in that regard, and it was really an easy process to go through. It does expire in 2024, which sounds like a long ways away. The key changes, as Jeremy pointed out, have to do primarily with the items that you're assessing franchise fees on. All of the items that you're assessing franchise fees on are perfectly allowable under federal and state law and so on. There's nothing that we would contend is not appropriate. The only thing I have to say is we are in a very competitive business, and our chief video competitor, Satellite, pays no franchise fees. So imagine in your business or endeavor, if your competitor kind of had a built-in advantage. We all pay for ESPN, we all pay for goods and services in the cable business, but they pay you no franchise fees. They don't use your right-of-way, in fairness to them. They do not occupy your right-of-way. But anytime we add on, whether it's because of a rate increase or a change in franchise fees, which, by the way, is passed through to the customer, there will be a line item on the bill that says City of Lapine franchise fees. That several dollars a month, as we all know in our own lives, could be the difference between someone continuing service with Crestview, who is a locally owned company, who pays franchise fees, who belongs to your chamber, who supports your girls' softball program and so on, like all many of you other businesses in town, to a company that probably has no representative in any of those things. In many cases, I don't know about Lapine, but they certainly are not a local company. And they pay you no franchise fees. Zero, because they don't use the right-of-way. So if a discriminating customer decides that franchise fee for what, 5%, is the difference between staying with Crestview and not, we lose a customer and you lose 5% of their bill. I just want you to understand the impact of that franchise fee, whether it's any kind of franchise fee. Midstate, for example, doesn't have a competitor. CenturyLink has us as a competitor. The gas company, I suspect, has no competitor. So it depends on your situation. And in our case, we have a serious competitor, and that's fine. That's great for consumers, and it's probably made the products that both of us offer better for the consumer. But I just want you to think about that as you assess franchise fees. Our franchise fees, contrary to what many people think, it's not common knowledge, we don't hold an exclusive franchise. I'm not sure they're even legal in the state of Oregon, at least in the case of cable television. Jeremy would be a better answer for that. But we do not have an exclusive franchise. In other words, you could grant another franchise to anybody who you deem appropriate for franchising in the city. Typically, that does not happen because of the extreme cost of building a cable television plant or a power company or a phone company. You don't see a lot of duplication, and the principal reason is the investment it takes. It's a very capital-intensive business, all of those. So that's something I wanted to share with you as you think about this going forward with us, or for that matter, anybody else. What have we done in the last couple years? I've been with Crestview for about 2 years. I've been in the cable business for about 32 years. I've managed cable systems from Lapine, as I said, to Portland, to Seattle, to Medford, to Astoria. I've been all over the Northwest, and this will probably be my last rodeo in a few years. But in 2013, Crestview in Lapine, and really worldwide, we've added a large number of HD channels. We've increased the bandwidth, and what do I mean by that? When I started in the cable business 30 plus years ago, I was in the cable business. That evolved into the entertainment business, and today we're in the communications business. That's the evolution of my career, and really it's what's happened all over the nation. And so we're a primary internet provider, and that internet comes in what's called backbone, a pipe. Think of it as a pipe, like a water pipe, gas pipe, whatever. And as you grow your business, that pipe has to grow. And you've got to buy that pipe from somebody to connect Lapine to the greater world. And we're not in the pipe business. We buy pipe from companies like Level 3, AT&T, and so on. They're national, international providers of that pipe. And as that pipe gets bigger, you buy more pipe, like lanes on a freeway, and the pipe is the most expensive component of any internet service. I don't care whose it is buying that pipe and keeping it big enough to handle the growing needs of an internet user. And increasingly we're seeing internet being used not just for downloading emails and business transactions. There's people who we call cord cutters. They're primarily younger people who don't have cable or satellite. They download most of their entertainment off the internet. And so the pipe has to get bigger to meet their needs because it's so intensive what they're downloading. So we spent a good deal of money in 2013, hundreds of thousands of dollars bringing a larger pipe into Lapine. That's not going to stop. That's going to continue because internet usage as a whole, whether it's gaming, video, email, photos, etc., 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 are going to do nothing but grow. And so that is a major component of our business. In 2014, the big thing, and it is a big thing, our company is going fully digital. What does that mean to you and to your citizens? The entire platform that we deliver video on, the channels you watch, the cable channels you watch, some 150 or so of them, will all be delivered digitally to this area. What that translates into is we will then have digital takes less space on the pipes. So we will be able to offer more channels. And of the channels that we currently offer, you'll see a large increase in the number of HD channels. We'll have the pipe big enough to be able to do that. just with our current channels, much less with the additional channels that come about every day that we're looking at. It'll also provide for those people who have a digital, newer digital television with HD. If you're a discerning viewer, you could see a picture quality difference as well. So it's the way of the future. It's about a $1 million investment, and we'll make that investment over the next 18 months. And so that's a big thing for us, a very big thing. And I think it's good for, it keeps us competitive, and it better serves your constituents and our customers. So those are really all the things I wanted to share with you. And if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them for you at this time.
Mike, I'd just like to say that, you know, Crestview's been a great partner in Lapine, serving the citizens of Lapine for many, many years. I know a lot of the people who work over here, and they speak well of what Crestview does in our neighborhood. I hear regularly about how many people wouldn't have internet if it wasn't for Crestview. And it's, it is a big component of the rest of our lives and the way we communicate and work. So I'm proud to say that I'm thrilled that you're here in our community with this franchise, being a partner that you are.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Any comments? Question? Mike?
Thank you very much.
Mike, I just wanted to tell you that I appreciate your efforts and those of your counterpart, Roger, as well. I enjoyed the negotiation process, and frankly, it was one of the more rewarding processes that I've gone through. So appreciate
we feel
that.
The same way, Jeremy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, what you need to do now actually is open up for, since these are all public hearing type things, you need to open up public comment, so anyone that would like to come speak has that right. Then you would close that hearing, then you have council deliberation, and then you'll do roll call vote.
I will open this segment to an open hearing and ask for public comment. And are there any one who would like to make public comment on the Crestview Cable franchise? Okay, hearing none, then I will close the open public hearing and ask for comment by the council. No discussion?
No discussion here.
Then I would entertain a motion to approve the franchise agreement as presented.
I so move.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the franchise agreement as presented. All those in favor?
Do we need a roll call?
It's an ordinance, and we do need a roll call.
Yeah.
So let me start here.
Karen Ward, aye.
Greg Jones, aye.
Stu Martinez, aye.
Kathy Egan, aye.
Let the record reflect that the ordinance roll call was unanimous. All those opposed? None. So, all right. Thank you very much. Item number 8 on the agenda is ordinance number 2014-02, an ordinance requiring licenses for trade shops, occupations, professions, and certain other businesses within the city of Lapine for the purpose of revenue and regulation, and imposing a license requirement this is another ordinance, so is there any
Okay, we've discussed this a couple times, and we have had two work sessions. We met with the chamber one night back a while ago, and then we also were here 2 weeks ago or so, discussed this. So this is our business license ordinance. This will be the first, obviously, this is another step forward. Most cities have business licenses, and we have not had one. And it's something we need to have to move forward.
So we listened to the chamber and listened to folks here that have come in, and this is what we have. So bottom line is, for those that are here, it's a $45 a year, and that will actually come up in the resolution, but it's a $45 a year business license. Anyone that does business in the city would be required to buy one. They're already doing that in Sisters and Matters and Redmond and Bend. I just saw a story in the paper that Bend was going to start getting aggressive with the collection of them. And probably 3/4 of the business licenses that will be purchased will actually be businesses outside of Lapine. So if you're Pepsi or Budweiser doing business in Lapine, you will have to buy a license. They're already buying them in Sisters and Matters and Redmond. So this is kind of getting your piece of the action. The other thing is, it allows us to know who is going into a business. So right now, you take a strip mall like Gordy's, there's no reason to come down here. They just all of a sudden open up. Well, then you find they take a plywood, sheet of plywood, and they spray paint the name of their business, and then they go stick it outside and hammer it onto the other plywood sign. And then we come along and say, well, you can't do that. Well, I didn't know that. So how it normally works, before you can open, you have to come get a business license. Then you apply. We get your name, your address, the building owner. We find out what business you're going to operate, what size signs if you're putting up a sign. Then up front, they know what's required. So over the years, you have passed a lot of rules, ordinance, resolutions. But this then is a kind of a point then that the customer, the people know what they have to do ahead of time. And then you can work through the process. And that's really why you do it. And that's why you'll notice the fee schedules aren't set as big money makers. You know, $45 by the time you process it and do everything. I mean, it's not a big revenue source. It's really just a way to keep track and inventory who's doing business in your town. And fly-by-night folks that show up in the middle of the night, someone knocks on your door, you can ask them if they have a business license. So that's kind of what we're doing. And the Chamber of Commerce did endorse it based on the fact that we were going to charge more for out-of-town companies, which is done in about half the cities. But they felt that made us look not business-friendly to companies from Bend that we need to provide services here. So that was dropped. So we just have the one basic rate of $45 a year. So with the Chamber's endorsement, and they represent the business community, and we had their whole board here at a meeting. So I would recommend you move forward with this, and I'll let Jeremy, if he makes any comments, and then go ahead and open the public hearing for the public.
Okay. Thanks, Rick. I just have one comment to make, and that concerns some minor tweaks that were made to the ordinance between the date that the ordinance was posted and what you have in front of you today. The reason why I'm drawing these to your attention is due to charter requirements. If you were to look at section 8.1, in the second line, the term or the word annually was removed. And then if you were to look at section 13.2, the fourth line down, the term or word annually was removed again. The reason for the removal is, and frankly I agree, Rick did not want to have an obligation, impose an obligation on the city council to annually come back and revisit the fees. He would just assume have it set, and then should you, the council, decide at a later date that you want to make modifications to the fee, then that prerogative is still contained in this document. He just doesn't want to have to deal with the administrative difficulty, and it makes sense. Yeah. So, okay. That's all I have, Mr. Mayor. Okay.
What I'd like to do at this time, I'd like to open to the public as a public hearing and ask for public comment. State your name and...
You need to come up here for this so that we can get the name and address of the report. It's a public hearing. You can't bill from the back.
Okay. Gloria Fleming, 50662 Deer Forest Drive, Lapine. I'm just curious as to what, for the $45, are they going to be listed in some sort of a book or something as businesses that do business in this town?
We're talking about having it on our website, actually, so businesses that are, will have a list of all those who have bought licenses, so people could go on and look and see if they're licensed or not. Because otherwise, you wouldn't know always.
Well, and
so that's why some businesses like that, because then their name's going to pop up there.
Right, and that's been my thing, is that there's a lot of businesses here that people don't even know. So, in a way, they're really getting something for their $45. Thank you.
Okay. Is there any further public comment at this time?
Just one thing, Jeremy, just fine, go ahead. But just remember, this is effective July 1, we forgot to say.
Okay.
So we'll start getting names prior to July 1.
My name is Kathy O'Neill, and I'm a resident here in Lapine for 35 years. And I've spoken to Ken 2 years ago about this charging a fee. I have a son that's a city planner in a city here in Oregon, and his their fee is $75. I also like the fact that they also have a chart which has hundreds of colors. When you're talking about somebody putting up a sign. Actually, there is one that is grandfathered in, which everybody wonders why. In Sandy, Oregon, it's Joe's Donuts that's checkered red and white. Well, they're grandfathered in, so they can't do anything about it until Joe dies or something to that effect. But I would like to see it also go into a color deal. And like you're saying, a sign deal. You just can't paint a sign or sun that's four and put it up. So it's just, you know, this has been a big pet peeve of mine, and I've talked to Ken about it, like I said, 2 years ago, and was saying we need to bring this in now. I don't know what your money is really going to go to. I would really like to keep an eye on that. I know in Sandy, the money goes to beautifying the city only. That's why they have flowers.
In here, it talks about going toward business economic development type uses. And as far as the sign, we have a sign ordinance that addresses signs, and that just went effect about 3 weeks ago. So we've already been getting sign applications, and we just approved one for the senior center today, so it got reviewed for size and all of it. Color palettes, you know, that's kind of like, you know, you crawl and you walk slow and then you run, and before you're a marathoner, we're not right there. Color palettes are sensitive to people, and they are we're just not quite there. But we're doing a nuisance ordinance, so it's all kind of a crescendo up of things. But telling people what color to paint their buildings—it's
not telling them. No, they have a choice.
Well, but you're giving them a choice.
A big choice.
Again, that's not going to be part of this. And I'm just saying,
okay. We're
on the same page. These things have to be done in kind of a phased-in approach so that it works and we get buy-in.
Okay. So anyway, I'm really liking the fact that you have jumped on the bandwagon here and decided to charge everybody, you know. And I hope you mean everybody, because there's lots of us out there that needs to be charged, including my own husband that does business in this town for 35 years.
Well, I think I mentioned to you yesterday about we know who the best policemen are going to be for this.
You better believe it. You better believe it.
We want your phone call.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that I'm real happy to see that you guys went with this.
Thank you, Kathy. Mm-hmm. Any further public comment?
God, glad I stayed.
Yeah.
It was our first customer.
There you go.
Just a very quick question, and it's probably covered in the ordinance that I've not read, but will you be billing the businesses for renewals once they sign up, or is it incumbent upon the business to realize that it's January 1 or whatever and it's time to pay up again?
Well, look.
I've seen it done both ways. As you can imagine, it's a little easier if I get a bill.
Actually, I think Well, first of all, the council approved, we bought the software system from Cassell, so it's in our system, so once we have the names, it'll automatically generate a bill. My guess is we will bill it, it'll look like the water sewer cards, but you're going to get a much higher rate of coming back. If you didn't send a bill, they'll conveniently forget until you call them.
12.1.
Yeah, Mike, I would assume that you would know that I would address that after negotiating the franchise agreement with me.
I had a funny feeling.
But Section 12.1 specifically states that the city will send a renewal notice to the business and require the business to perform and submit the applicable license fee.
We pay them in every other community we do business in, and it's very common, and I'm glad to see you do it.
Great. Thank you, Mike. Any further comments?
Evening. Tom Fosdick, 52555 Ammon Road. Is there a easily accessible record of ordinances that an ordinary person like myself could find?
Good question.
Okay.
They're on our website right now, and you can go there. The ordinances are all there. We haven't been around that long, so they're by the year. Secondly, we have a code of ordinances and, or what do you call it, a code book that has them. And we're moving toward, we have a new website going to come out, and it will be much easier to get. And there what you're going to find, and the mayor and Greg are very proud of this, so when you go, you find the ordinance, it'll even then have a link to the night it was approved, and you can go to the minutes of the night it was approved if it was 5 years ago, so you'll be able to see who was at the meeting, what did they say, and what was the intent. Then the last piece I'm hoping we'll do is where they're searchable. So if you wanted to search, I mean, gambling, there could be three ordinances that address gambling, but you don't know that, and they're spread over years. You'll be able to, and then it'll actually pop up any ordinance with that keyword. So that's where we're headed, because otherwise, how do you find them?
Awesome. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
And ladies.
Is there any further public comment? Hearing none, I will close the public hearing and ask council for discussion.
I just have one question. How are we going to post the announcement of these?
We'll do we have 4 months.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're going to do some news stories, that it's been approved, and then we'll probably, we'll start getting around. It'll be at the head of one of the things on our webpage, but we'll get it around, news stories, and because we want people to apply early, they can wait to pay, but or if they pay, it'll be good through next year, because we could have 300 or 400 of these, and it's a lot. They have the data entry these in, so we don't want everyone coming around on June 15th, but just fine if it takes us a month to process them, we will. So, and these take a while to, look, year one you're going to have less, it's like Ben found out, in year two you'll pick some up, and it takes a while. But we'll get them keyed in, and we'll get it out there. The out-of-town companies are the little tough ones.
Yeah.
So it's kind of that word of mouth and our local inspectors that we talk about.
Right.
We have 1,000 of them. There's 1,000 friends. We have 1,000 inspectors.
Okay. Any further comments, discussion?
There we go. Yeah, this ordinance is a long time coming. It's been discussed for several years now. And I think it's a move forward for the city council to approve this. It'll also give our economic development folks a better idea of who's in town, who's doing business, and how to go after the businesses that are out there that may be looking for a new place to come. And it's another resource for our, our fire department. It's a resource for our school district. It's a resource for our general public to know who's in town. So it's a long time coming, and I think we need to give it a full support of the entire board.
Okay. With that, I'll, if there's no further discussion, I'll entertain a motion to approve Ordinance
So moved.
With a second.
And a roll call vote, please.
Did you say ordinance?
Karen Ward, aye.
Greg Jones, aye.
Stu Martinez, aye.
Kathy Egan, aye.
Opposed? Let the record reflect that roll call vote was unanimous for approval of ordinance 2014-02. As corrected. Item number 9 on the agenda is resolution number 2014-02, a resolution establishing business license and related fees under the City of Lapine's business license ordinance, number 2014-02.
Okay, this is a resolution, and this is the reason it's a resolution. You'll notice this is where the prices are. Does she have it up? No, okay. Why don't you get to the prices? That's what people like. There you go. You establish the law, the business license kind of law by ordinance, and the resolution is where you would change the fee ever. And resolutions are easier to change. So that's, you'll see that with water rates and all kinds of things. It's kind of a two-step process. So the ordinance you just approved has no actual fee in it. You do that by resolution. So that's what this is. This is establishing the fee. You can see what it's going to be, $45, temporaries, $25, and a change if they change a name or do something, $15. And that's it, right?
Yeah, just a quick comment. The resolution that's on the screen is actually the older, outdated version. And so your section 2 should read that the city hereby establishes the following fees effective February 12, 2014, period. And again, the reason why that's inaccurate is because we removed the annual component from the ordinance.
I sent that to Ashley. That was an earlier version.
Okay, thank you. Council, any discussion? Some resolution.
Yeah, and this time you might want to start down here for the roll call.
Sure.
And the reason that you rotate that, just kind of fun thing, there's peer pressure. And actually, the first person doesn't know how the other people are going. Council's people that sit on the end always get asked, and they have to kind of say their thing first. And it's amazing how votes are changed based off of that. So it's kind of fun sometimes to go back and forth.
Okay, Kathy, you're first.
Kathy Egan, aye.
Wait a minute. You didn't get through discussion.
We're talking about a discussion.
Oh, no, I'm good. No.
I just have a question. The difference between year-round and temporary.
Under the ordinance, the temporary license is for 30 days or less. Year-round is anything beyond the 30-day or less period.
Okay, thank you.
The thought, good question. The thought was someone's going to have a something that they're out seasonally for 3 weeks before something, And we figured out, because of our rate, now if you had a $300 rate, you might have one that's 6 months and less, but with a $45 fee, you're just covering the cost to kind of to do it. So we felt if you were going to be out there for 2 or 3 weeks, but anything above 30 days, you pay the full. In fact, if you're only there for 2 months. And of course, remember the ordinance, if you're at the, it doesn't cover it if you're at the fairgrounds, right. i.e. the event center, you rent a booth down there, you don't have to come get a license.
Okay. Any discussion?
No.
No further discussion. I will entertain a motion to approve resolution number 2014-02. Do we need a roll call on this? Not on a resolution.
No, but you can.
Sure.
Well, okay.
Kathy, you're first.
Kathy Egan, aye.
Stu Martinez, aye.
Did they get second?
We didn't get a motion. If we did one, we didn't catch it.
Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Thank you.
Well, no, you can't move. Who just moved? Did you
Greg
move, Greg?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought it was the mayor was moving.
Second.
There we go.
It's been
Been moved and seconded. All, any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous. They approved. Item number 10 is an ordinance number 2014-03, an ordinance establishing definitions of nuisance, penalties, and procedures for abatement of nuisance in the city of Lapine.
Okay, I'll let Jeremy talk here. This has went through the Planning Commission, and this has been a long time coming. The down and dirty on this is, we've adopted, you know, codes and ordinances and resolutions that deal with things, but this is the one that kind of deals with, for the lack of a better term, the generic term would be junk. Just so that you understand. But it's because a nuisance, I was like, what's a nuisance abatement? My neighbor's a nuisance. Well, you can't abate your neighbor because they're a nuisance. So this is kind of where you get into the debris, the garbage. You take buildings, say, across the street where you've got piles of things and broken windows and just stuff like that. This ordinance gets into all of that kind of stuff. And we'll be able to start enforcing it. And like all of these things, these are done with slow. You know, you had, how many years, 102 years or 103 years as an unincorporated area. And this will not be done overnight. We're not going to be running around looking for a broken window that's 1 foot by 1 foot in the back corner of someone's third bedroom. So, you know, that's, you know, and I think you guys know that. It's discretion, and these ordinances that, you know, you have to, they're complaint driven, and then you got to kind of pick your battles, because you can't take them all on, and you shouldn't. You just kind of have to work through the worst of the worst, and this gives us the tool to do that. And with that, I think the public wants this, from what I get from people. Now, it'll always a little trickier when we go to enforce it, because the person that you're enforcing knows somebody, and they all have a relative, and they all work somewhere. So, you know, most of the time we think our neighbor has junk, but my place is pretty tidy. You know, that's kind of just human nature. But your neighbor thinks you have junk. So, you know, these things are always interesting. But we'll do our best, and no, Don, you don't have junk. I've been to your house. I made an inspection today, pending tonight. So I think this is a good one. And this is another statute, all three of these, but this is a good one for Lapine. It gives us that tool to move on, and I can tell the community wants it. So with that, I'll let Jeremy speak to anything.
I actually have nothing to add. Rick said everything I think that needs to be said. The bottom line is this, the nuisance ordinance is literally intended to protect the public health, safety, and general welfare, and to make sure that we have certain minimum standards out there to ensure that that happens.
Okay. With that, I will open a public hearing on ordinance number 2014-03, the nuisance ordinance, and ask for public comment. Hearing no comment.
Oh, yeah.
I believe nobody has anything to say about this.
Well, I do. I've had a lot to say about it. Yeah, I've lived here for 35 years, and I'm just disgusted with the junk. I have a neat home also. And there's just a lot of junk on the highway. And when I approach Lapine, if I didn't know Lapine, I'd say, who wanted to live here, or visit here, or stay here? When I approached Sisters, I thought, oh, isn't this quaint and cute, and I'd like to stay in this town. I just think it's terrible what we have allowed, and there's a couple of things I would like to see, which I'm sure you're all on the same page, on the highway there, taken care of, the tent city, I'd like to see that being taken care of. I like to see Mr. Woodsman being taken care of. I don't even know these people. I have nothing against them. I just don't like how they've made our town look. I'd like to see the place in back of Gordy's taken care of. I don't think there's anything there for a handicap to go PP or anything like that. I mean, I know there's a, I mean, everybody else that has a restaurant and stuff has to have handicap this and handicap that. And,
are you talking about a wood cutting?
Oh, the wood cutting zone back there, yeah. You know, I mean, I does he have a permit to have a trailer there or two trailers there, or, you know, becomes one trailer, now there's two trailers. And the TP place, which you told me that the guy's gone or you thought was gone or something, I noticed at 411 when I drove by this afternoon, the TP was having a smoke fire, so somebody's living there. So I think it's time that we stand up as residents here and say, you know what, I know there's lots and lots of people that are disgusted with the way our town looks like coming in, and that we need to do something different. And I think you guys are on the right track, but I think the problem is we're all tired of waiting. And I know it's a long process, but we've been talking about it for years. And it's about time that somebody does something. And now that we're a city, I'm sure I'm speaking for a lot of people, something has to be done. So I hope you guys get her done.
Thank you, Kat. I'd just like to make a comment about that. Is, you know, the city's growing. You know, we're getting a little bit older. We're moving from, you know, the city manager has made some great comments around taking these baby steps. This right here is half the reason I put a tie on tonight, because it's a special night. We're really making some great brick and mortar progress here. I mean, these are some of the basics that we have come a long way to do, and it's taken a long time. And I think we'll see a lot more of this as we go down the road, getting those essential ordinances and resolutions in place. So I'm proud of us tonight that we've got a staff that understands this stuff. We've got a council that knows what needs to be done and brings forth the ideas that they hear from the citizens. So I'm extremely proud tonight. So with that, is there any further public comment? Hearing none, I will close public comment and ask for discussion. Council. Hearing none. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I appreciate Kathy stepping up, and I hope we have more people once these changes are made that will come and step up and voice their concerns and give us new ideas of where we need to look and that type of thing. And I with Ken, it's a long time coming, and I think this is fantastic. It's a good night to celebrate this. Thank you, Kathy.
Okay, thank you. Any
and I have to reiterate what Kathy just said. Kathy,
you
know. Thank you. I think you expressed the concerns of a lot of people in town, a lot of people that wouldn't take the time to come down here and express that, but yet sit there and complain.
I hear all the time.
I appreciate that greatly. And this is another tool that the city will have at their disposal to start cleaning up some of the eyesores that this town does have. Believe me, we hear about it every day, but there are steps that we have to take, and this is an important one. And I'm glad to see you in a tie, Mr. Mayor. I wondered what was going on, but it looks sharp.
Now you know.
Now I know. But it is a time, it is a day really to say Lapine is taking this step. We are proud of ourselves, and this is going to help us get it done. Because, you know, a lot of people are moving into town. They're moving in every day, and we need to start making it look like a town that we're proud of. I mean, we know we're proud of it, but we need to make it look like that. So, thank you.
I would just add, unless there's anything here, I'd add that Kathy hit it on the nail on the head with the fact that, you know, if she didn't live here, she'd keep driving through town, you know, because we do have some eyesores, and it has been a long time coming. And I think with the staff that we have, we'll see things move right along. So.
Just one thing. The ordinance, we are not declaring emergency, so it takes effect 30 days after today.
Thank you.
I have one more thing to say. I don't have to walk through it.
No.
Well, technically, the public hearing was closed.
Okay.
So we have another public comment period, so write down your note.
Yeah.
But since it's an ordinance, we'll try to stay on track.
Yeah.
I just had another question. When will we have the code enforcement officer employed again, or have you?
Good question. We are working a contract with Deschutes County because they already do the code enforcement. They're going around a lot of times, you know, it's a code on building violation, and they're already trained and do it. So we have a draft, just like a couple days ago. So, you know, we'll get some of these ordinances out of here, and now we'll move to the code enforcement officer. But actually having an officer do something is usually further down the line. I make the first, and I do it all the time, make the first contact. Or second, third contact, I go take pictures, I call people. Today I called someone. And, you know, you get compliance the majority of the time with a phone call and a letter. So we'll still do that because we got to pay the code enforcement person by the hour. So that's really like the third step. And then, of course, the last step is if you have to have a policeman go issue the citations. But again, you hope that that might only happen once or twice a year. But we may every month have, a letter or two going out to somebody. But that'll come, should come, from the city manager because they're already here, and that should be part of their job is to know all of that. You might have to get the right city manager that will go do that because you've got to be able to trumple around out there like I do, and no one phases me. So, So what we do is, what we're doing now is when we get a complaint, we told you a couple weeks we have access, we learned to run that. They come in here usually, and so they both know how to enter it into the access program. They email to me. Patty or Ashley, first thing we do is go get all the information from the county. We want to know who owns the property. We want to know what the tax lot is. We like to know if the taxes were paid. Those are all indicators of issues. All of those things, zone. And then we go take photos. We build that record. Then we sit and we look at it. You know, what do we got going on here? Then we would look at the rules and decide what's the appropriate, and generally it's a phone call. To just, because again, you don't want, you hit somebody, you just call and say, hey, and you talk to them. And then secondly, you send them a letter, and then you send a follow-up letter, and then it gets, just see if you get complaints.
Okay. Just to clarify though, to make a complaint, someone has to come to City Hall or go online?
Yeah, our new website, will have a fillable form.
Because I was thinking, you don't get any work done, your phone will be ringing off the hook.
Yeah.
If you have to field all those.
Yeah, but we'll take them. And we have, you have to be street smart on them. And just because someone sends one in doesn't mean anything's going to happen.
Right.
Because you do get, I don't know, and I'm sure that Jeremy, anyone's around and sees this, a lot of it is neighbor battles. And that we're not getting into. But they'll say, we had a complaint over here because the neighbor had a bird. Well, the bird would go evidently outside and would sit on the tree and chirp. Well, that's not going to ring that high on my list. There's the neighbor's got a bird. It flew in. But that's the kind of stuff you get.
So,
yeah. Then the neighbor will shoot the bird.
I have one comment, Rick. I asked about earlier, after this first came out in our first read for it, about
the manure?
The animal waste, yeah.
We went back and forth on that.
That issue is addressed.
Okay.
It's addressed generically and specifically, and I will point that out, Mayor, to you.
I looked for it, but I couldn't find it.
Gary, 6.7.
Well, Ashley's fast.
I have to go be. Not me.
Take the credit.
I am that fast.
Right behind. So, Mayor, again, it's addressed generically under the definition of nuisance, and then now it's specifically addressed in there as well.
Okay, great. Thank you very
and
much.
And then Deborah sent me an email, because this issue was raised, and so, and we have had some issues with it, and it was the mayor was concerned. So, you know, what we try to do is you don't want to get too specific, because then that boxes you in. Yeah. So we have a way, what Deborah said in her email to me, that it encompasses any problem you might have without listing the specific issue. And she uses an example of the noisy parrot. So I think we're covered on parrots and animal waste, because that is an issue.
That's specifically, in reading this, that's well put.
Good.
Yeah. So thank you very much. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to approve ordinance 2014-03. Been moved?
Second.
And seconded to approve ordinance number 2014-03. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Oh, word.
Aye.
Roll call.
It's a roll call.
Oh.
Kathy Agin, aye.
Stu Martinez, aye.
Greg Jones, aye.
Karen Ward, aye.
Opposed? Let the record reflect that it's a unanimous roll call decision. And item 11 is resolution number 2014-03, a resolution establishing the derelict structure fee under the City of Lapine's nuisance ordinance number 2014-03.
I'll let Jeremy take this, but you can read a derelict building. Again, one, your neighbor may think you have a derelict building, but we'll be careful on derelict buildings. But I think you all know of some, and I'll let Jeremy explain why we have it, the fee, and what's that all about.
Similar to the resolution that you just adopted with respect to the business license fees, this is a resolution that is going to presumably be adopted by you to establish the structure fee as well. And if you were to look at section 29.1, it specifically states that if an individual, for example, or an entity were to fail to register a building or structure within that timeline, they would pay a monthly derelict structure fee as established by the City Council through resolution. So this is simply implementing that requirement under section 29.1.
Okay.
Yeah, I changed it. And again, the resolution on the screen is the older resolution that obviously doesn't contemplate what we discussed previously, which is removing the requirement that you adopt this resolution annually. And the resolution that you should have in front of you, and the one that I have in front of me, specifically states that it's the fee as of February 12, 2014. You have no obligation to change it unless and until you deem it warranted.
Okay. Any discussion? I'll entertain a motion to approve resolution 2014-03.
So moved. Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Is it a roll call?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Record reflect that that's a unanimous approval. Item number 12, appointment of Rick Allen as budget officer for the 2014-2015 budget year.
We just need to appoint someone, so I guess it's me, so we can start working on the budget.
Okay. Any discussion, council? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve our city manager as the budget officer.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? It's unanimous to approve. Item number 13 is appoint our previous mayor, Kitty Shields, to the budget committee to fill her own slot.
So there's her letter up. We put her letter that she okay. sent asking.
Okay.
And then we'll still have one more opening we haven't had out.
Okay. Motion. It's been motion made. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's moved and seconded to approve Kitty Shields to the budget committee. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? It's unanimously approved. Welcome to the budget committee again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kitty. Item 14
is Mr. Mayor. Jeremy, if it's fine, Jeremy is going to head back and if we're done with him for those items.
Save some legal fees.
Yeah. Yeah. We can handle
yes.
it. Thank you very
thank
much.
You all. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Jeremy, Jeremy, drive safe.
Item 14 is the budget calendar and the priority planning session. If you have a copy of that in your additional agenda folder.
That is the proposed budget calendar. Obviously, that can subject to change. You know, we can always add a meeting, or sometimes you take away a meeting, but it gives you a kind of a template to start from. In the back has a calendar and calendar version. If you flip that over,
okay,
for your read, so you kind of got it both ways. And the one thing that I wanted to know if you were okay with is it's always nice to start the budget process with kind of a session with the council to find out, you know, any priorities you have. Maybe, you know, that's where you talk about a pet peeve project you might want, and the others get to throw rocks at it. And then the budget committee can be there. Although I've been reading some laws that says that, you know, we haven't really started the budget process. They're not supposed to convene as an official group. So, but I did see where Sisters Who Wins Awards in their budget actually has them meeting before they have budget meetings. So lacking knowing exactly what the law is, and I figure it's not worth spending legal money on or other things. But any of the budget committee members can certainly attend. It's a public meeting anyway. But this is a chance to kind of come up with, you know, if you have something you'd like prioritized, we kind of start talking. Then I can take that information to start building the budget so that when we first meet with the budget committee, would you go back to that other one that's easier to read? Where's the thing up there? And then in March, we'll have our new budget committee person, hopefully. But we will then actually, and one thing you'll notice on the schedule, I did them, you'll look at, you're going to have a busy April, the 15th, 22nd, 29th. So we'll do three Tuesday nights in a row. Three Tuesday nights in a row. If you have to miss one, fine. And don't feel bad. Again, when I was looking at Sisters, they actually go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They do them all in 1 week, and they come back a couple weeks later. They actually do them night after night. You'll also notice something you've been wanting. Under the first one, it says budget message in the committee meeting, the community sponsorship presentation. So we'll get out to the chamber, and then any groups that are coming for contributions, we'll allow them a 10-minute window. We won't decide anything that night, but they get to make their presentations of what they would like. And that's your car clubs, your Frontier Days, rodeos, you name it, those kind of groups, Chamber of Commerce. So that's kind of more of a discussion night. And we'll throw out the first part of the budget. Then the second budget meeting is when you can start to say, hey, if we get $10,000 worth of requests and we've only got five in there, then the group, all 10 of you, get to decide kind of where that goes. And then we'll just move on through. I put down a third one. I think it'll take three. Seems like that. Two is just not enough. And then we'll do our state revenue sharing that night. And then we'll kind of wait a month in case we have to make any changes. The law allows, I think it's up to 10% you can change if you needed to, if something else comes in. Finish up May 28th, so that gives us June for a crisis. I always like the fluff. So that if we figure we did something wrong, notice something wrong, we can get a notice out and fix it. I do see some of these cities, they're out there on June 28th, approving it, and I'm just like, So that's the calendar, and
did you have a question about the 5th of March?
Yeah, is that okay? That's on a Wednesday, and we did it at 2 in the afternoon, 2 to 5, 3 hours. It doesn't mean you could be done at 4 or 4:30. It's just, usually they're at least 2 hours, sometimes three, so it'll be around a table, and if that's okay with people, obviously, if we could move that to the following Wednesday if you wanted to or something. I just arbitrarily picked it so I could start working on things.
Good with me.
And also a daytime meeting, I think some of these people, their energy level's up right after lunch then, right? They're ready to roll. And Karen, you're usually done at 2, aren't you?
I was looking to see which day it was.
It's Tuesday. Do you get done working at 2?
It's a Wednesday.
Was it a Wednesday? Oh, it's a Wednesday, excuse me.
It's a Wednesday. It's a Wednesday.
That's fine.
Yeah, go. Okay.
Are you guys okay with a priority session? Do you like that?
Yes.
Stu?
I'm trying. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Unless there's any further comment about that, we'll move to other matters. And we have a
four things on there.
List of other matters.
Oh, consolidation of bank accounts. And actually,
okay, this is, you know, Summer Sears, who is working in doing our helping us with finance, has been here 3 days. And she moves right along. You know, she's very good. You pay them good, they do good work, they know what they're doing. So, you know, we got into the Cassell system and looking at our chart. My first thing with her was chart of accounts. So we can get those cleaned up and so they'll be able to match the budget. So then I will know year-to-date stuff. So all those things that we need to put our budget together. And I've got pages here of some things that we're changing, eliminating, getting rid of, and adding and subtracting. So she works on it for 2 or 3 hours, comes and sees me. We talk about stuff. You know, there's always 2 or 3 ways to do it. We kind of figure out a way that we think will work best, and also sometimes, you know, some of it is, we're trying to move forward, and you know, you could go back 2 years, and you know, it's like, where do you stop? It's like remodeling. You know, where do you stop? Pretty soon you've gutted the whole thing, and you do have to just kind of decide where your comfort zone is, and so we're trying to fix it forward. But one of the things is we have 9 bank accounts. And you know, the reason is we inherited the traffic lights on, or the street lights on Huntington. That was a group that the Ford Foundation did. They collected money, and then they gave the city the money, and they opened a bank, or they had a bank account, so we had a bank account. Then we took the water and sewer, and each of those were districts. They each had their own bank accounts, and I think they had 2 each. So that was 4. Then we had 4 of our own. We had one with like $18 or something in it, and that's been there for a couple years. They don't charge us any fee, we don't get any interest, but we have to balance it. So anyway, Summer, if you move on down, what we're going to do is, I just wanted you to know, I think anytime you deal with money, that's not a state law. I feel that you need to know when we're talking about bank accounts. So bear with me on that if you don't like that. I just think that the council, when it comes to money and finance, you're going to know more than you want to know if I'm around. So we are going to close those 4. Now we'll have some more to close, but this is, again, we're doing things in a systematic process. And now with our Cassell, again, the money, so see, you take the $100 and 25 came from 4 different places. Well, what we did before, we had 4 different bank accounts. Well, now it's only 1 bank account, but we keep track that 25 was from water, 25 was from sewer. We still can take the $100 and say, you know, how much it belongs to, whatever it belongs to. Now we only have 1 bank account to balance. So we will ultimately get rid of some others. And there's a different one we're closing there. So that, I don't know that I need a motion. I just want you to know if you have objections to closing bank accounts, and you understand why we're doing it.
Council, consensus?
I agree.
Makes sense.
Do you know the total of all the accounts that we're closing?
No.
I think there was another letter that I signed. The back page, yeah. Did you go to that?
What was the question?
Oh, the bank account balances, the last page.
The last one?
Did you not do it?
For the home federal checking account, I think that's the one with $18.
And then the water and sewer ones have a significant amount of money.
We have about $4 million in the bank, spread out around these nine bank accounts.
So you're putting roughly $4 million.
Oh, I'm not giving you balances.
No, no. I know, but
We have nine bank accounts. These are the four. These are the ones we're eliminating now. Money will be combined. But I couldn't tell you sitting here if one's going to have $1 million or one's going to have $3 million. If you want that detail, then Summer will have to.
I'm content with the fact that we're doing such a job of consolidating these down to.
I mean, the balance has changed daily, but.
I know. It's about $3.5 million that we're going to transfer into the city savings account and about $18 that we're going to transfer to the federal money market account.
Okay. And then.
And it's about, I could be $500,000 off, but it's pretty close to that.
Because if you're closing accounts, there's a value in that account that you're closing.
Yeah, it's being, all those bank accounts are being transferred into one.
Right, that's what I would.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the account she's transferring them into bears the most interest. So we're going to get a return.
And then the second piece of it, again, I don't know if you have that letter, but I don't know if you scanned it, but there's signed a letter in there. The second piece of this to go with it, we are putting out we have sending a notice to the local banks. Well, one of our requirements is they have a branch here because we have to go to them. And we're going to ask the banks, basically now that we're going to have one or two bank accounts, we can get a better interest rate. We want to know. So Summer is sending out, she's going to meet with the branch managers and then we will talk about what bank accounts to have. We'll have two or three. We also don't want all of our money at one bank. And for a lot of reasons. But one is to support both banks and that builds support in the community. First thing she asked me is why are you not using the state pool? And my response was we're a small town and having those deposits keeps these banks open. And the interest rate really is no different. But a lot of school districts and big cities, they're not big ones, do their own, but in between sizes they do use the state pool. We could send this money to Salem and there's a whole system there and it's all invested there. But the our deposits at now Washington Federal are about ~12% of their total deposits. And that's significant in a bank. A bank needs to have $20 million in deposits to break even. And actually this Washington Federal is about 42 million.
And we're 12%.
Yeah. Something like that. But so it is important. And I was just talking to the administration of Washington Federal in Seattle the other day, and they rolled down, just to give you an example, and I think Prineville's branch of Washington Federal has $10 million. $12 million. Mattress is $18 million. This is almost 40.
And they're doing it local.
So anyway, that's important. We've got a couple banks closed, and we don't want them all to close. So you'll see more of that. We're trying to, so this is all finance we'll be working. So if you guys don't have any trouble with closing some accounts and consolidating and seeing where we get the best deals, and we'll keep it local.
Okay, very good. The next added agenda item is public usage roads, local area access roads maintenance.
We don't have any pictures for that problem.
No.
That's fine. No. This is the Public Works Committee talked about it yesterday. I just wanted to be aware, during the snow plowing season is when you get lots of complaints. Snow plowing is one of those things that is, high weather, I guess call it, or anything weather related, but snow in particular is a very high complaint driven activity. And you can talk to any public works director, any city manager, and as long as it doesn't snow much, you don't hear anything, and when it does, you hear everything. And it's very interesting, and I have been out. That's one of the things I do, and I think I sent you an email a while ago saying, make sure we're up on top of things, and we're it's the secondary plowing. If it starts to melt, you get slush. And you know, I had someone call me, said that they just had plowed out their driveway from the first or the second snowing, and then they were mad because they came by again and they plowed the slush, and then the slush gave them a berm. If I hadn't told them maybe to go plow the third time, then we wouldn't have a berm, but then you'd have slush. So it's, you know, if someone has answers to this, email and share them, because it is, you know, I had a gentleman who called me over the weekend and said snow can't touch his property, other people's snow, only snow that drops. And, you know, okay, so I have to plow in front of him because there's 20 houses past him. You know, the person over here was upset because the plow plows them in, and then she proceeds to tell me about everyone in the neighborhood who has health problems. And then she's got her truck parked in the street. That blocks the snow plow. She told me she moves it out there when it snows so that the snow plow has to scoot over. I could write a book, and it's rather interesting. So one of the other complaints was the public usage roads or these streets that are alleys, and this is from Huntington Meadows, again, Riley Road, which is where it, every year they come up. So,
Lane.
Yeah. So, with a gentleman called me over the weekend, and I told him that we would not be plowing it, and he said that it had been plowed while I was gone. He called me when I was here before, and I told him no. And then I was gone for a year at winter, and it got plowed, and now I'm back and told him no. So, and I called the county, because actually that subdivision is three-quarter county roads and all of that. And Chris Doty, the county public works director, said, you know, that's easy for us. It's no. State law does not allow us to use tax dollars on private roads. Alleyways like that are not public streets. And he said, there is no meeting. You can go to the county commissioners and talk all you want. It's an ORS. We can't spend money on private roads. So he said, you guys can do what you want. And so we did go to public works yesterday and bring it up, but because there's other ones. They're all over town. And so I kind of wanted direction from them. I think Jim Fleming is in the back. He's reading his books. But, their opinion was, No, we're just not going to get into that. And I think if you do it 1 year and not 1 year, then you're really opening up Pandora's box. And the road is narrow, there's no sidewalks, you can't push it, there's no borrow pit, so then you have to basically use a loader to get it out of there. And I had photos for them yesterday. It's just a narrow road, and they're all over. It's like Sun River has their little narrow streets. Sun River takes care of them. The county doesn't go into Sun River. Those are private streets. The public can ride on them, the public can drive on them. That road was laid out that way by the developer because he tried to cram in those houses. There wasn't room for a public street. That's why there's no place to put water, there's no sidewalks. So knowingly, the developer said, we're gonna do this as an alleyway, not a public standard street. The people who bought there bought on a street. Nothing's been changed, no one's done any sleight of hand here. And that's why I tried to tell the man, I feel bad, but that's, and then the lady that called me from over out off State Rec Road, when we went through all of that, you know, and she had the berm problem, although it's outside the city, because they call me. So I got that over the weekend, and I'm working through that, and then I find out where it is. But the same issue, and they said, no, that's a special road district plowed that road, and that they left a berm, but they pay an extra tax to have that done. So, I just kind of want to let you know, and if you had anything, Scott, it helps him and us to know we need the backing of the council, but if you want to go plow, just let us know, and we can put him on a list. I mean, I don't know if you can legally, but you tell us what to do. We work for you.
I think that whoever it was that called you from Rite Aid, probably confused because earlier this year, the first snow we had, they did plow it. And he probably thought it was going to happen every time. I don't know who that was, but I wanted to, on a positive note, the company that's doing the plowing in that neighborhood this year.
Can't hear you.
I wanted to put out a positive note about Huntington Meadows. It's been a problem over the years. And this year, whoever is doing the plowing.
Russell saying.
Big Crescent. Okay, they did an excellent job. They used the drainage swales for the excess, so which it piled up fast, and every swell was used as opposed to piling it up at the end of the streets or, you know, and subsequently those that are parking in those swells, they couldn't get in them anymore. You know, so it really served two good purposes. You know, keeping the snow is nearly gone there, and it was a very well done job this year. I wanted to let you know that I vote for them for next year. Did a great job.
Okay. Any further comment, Kathy, Stu, Ken? Okay. Added agenda item is Glenwood Acres Water Homeowners Association.
And our president of the association, if he wanted to come up, see here, right? Yeah, come on up here, just so you and your wife, if you both want to, now that's the fourth slide, isn't it?
You want the other one?
Start at the front.
There's two.
There, start at the front. You'll now see you have a crisis because you don't know how to turn them.
I know how to turn them.
I'm testing her. See? Oh. This, we met before, and again, this is all just for the record, some of you know this, and we met earlier at Glenwood Acre, which you'll see a map of, but they sent a letter to me requesting that we look into entering into an agreement to be their provider of water. They have a water system, they charge their people and have their own little water district, and so we thought, you know, we can do that. They're having well problems, and that's what he tells you. So then time went by, I did some more research, and go to the next, and just to show you Glenwood Acres, that is right off Burgess and Huntington, and it's right there, right where the little site numbers, there she is. And there's about 24 accounts, and there are a couple vacant lots, but there it is. They have their own water system, and they have little pipes, and they pay their bill, and the president of the Homeowner Association is here, and the mayor is the water master. So he will not be participating, correct?
You're absolutely right. I would declare at this time a conflict of interest because I am the water master and the treasurer of the water district.
Okay, so next. So I've got a letter sent him. I haven't sent it out yet, but he's here. I sent him a copy. This is kind of the parameters of an agreement. And Jeremy and I have talked about it. They kind of gives you, there are 20, this is based on their information, if it's 23, we can adjust. This is just kind of saying, these are what would be the base for an agreement. That does not mean, this is not the agreement, so don't get your water all hot. There are 24 EDUs, such 24 houses. Every house gets an EDU at $27.34. That's the same rate the non-grinder pays. You take the amount of water Don gets, you multiply it by 24, you take the rate that Don pays, and it comes out to $656 a month and 84,400 gallons. Then excess water is $2 per 1,000, and that's our ordinance and resolution. The things below are things that I want to make sure get in an agreement. The city would provide a connection, and we'll show you that in a minute. We're going to bring it underneath Burgess, and we'll have it all set so it's legal backflow and all that kind of stuff. Pressure reducers. The water would be billed to the homeowners. They write us one check for the $600. They then may charge $40 a month to their people because they have their own system to maintain and, you know, their own expenses. We'll maintain the connection from the backflow device back to our system. So outside the backflow goes into their system. If they've got cheap PVC pipe and it breaks, we'll close the valve, they fix it. We fix back on our system. They manage their own rates, collections, regulations, whatever they do. The mayor can send us the check out of his own bank account every month for $600. It's all right. And then we will obviously need to be held harmless. We don't want to get into an argument down there if someone says that the water master is not doing something right or the president of the homeowners is not doing something right. That's their fight, their thing. 5 years water, you don't want to be doing 2 and 3 year agreements with water, and we would even do longer, but I thought a 5 and a 5, that gives them 10 years and you'll renegotiate. And then second, the last thing here, if our water rates go up, in the middle of that, theirs go up. So if we add another buck a month, theirs has to go up. We're trying to keep it equal so that everyone pays the same, but yet we're providing them water, they don't have to depend on wells. Okay, next. And that's just my, don't worry about that. This is the, we already are getting it engineered, and this is showing where we would build, come across Burgess, and put up a vault, and then we'll have a fire hydrant there, and it'll just tee off to them, and we'll make it to where if we ever, then the next step would be we actually put in the pipe system to their houses if they were to go away, and then they would become a city customer. We'd bill them monthly. However, we've got to come up, and they have to come up and come up the system to pay for the pipes that go to each house. That's a whole different expense when you're going to actually put the distribution system in with water meters. And that's not what they've asked us to do. They're comfortable doing it. And this is done other places where you're providing, I kind of call it bulk water. You're just one meter, and it's a bigger line, and you're doing the water. So. They're having a homeowners meeting this weekend, and I thought it'd be a good chance for him to come down and introduce yourself and then kind of tell the council what it is. We don't have any decision to make tonight, but unless you tell me this is kind of a direction we're moving, we don't know the numbers yet, but this is gives you a good idea of the numbers. About $7,500 a year to us. So be a nice customer. And help them out.
Correct.
So go ahead, introduce yourself.
My name's Paul Miller. I'm president of the Glenwood Acres Homeowners Association, and my wife...
Is the red button pushed? It should be pushed in?
The mic to you.
And then pull the mic to you.
Just like
yeah,
your
now rock. Tap on it. Nope, now hit the red button. Now tap. Okay, there you talk go. Into it.
Okay, Paul Miller, president Glenwood Acres Homeowners Association, and water board member. And my wife is also with me tonight. She's also a board member, secretary. Okay, so just briefly here, our water system is approximately 50 years old. We have 2 wells, one has failed. Our system, excuse me, is just getting very old, requiring a lot of maintenance, and we're at a point where we think it's in the best interest of our users to try to hook up to city water. And we've sent a letter out to our users last month, kind of a informational letter of where our status of our water system is and that we would like to pursue purchasing water from the city, and we made it we've set up a meeting for this Saturday at 2:00 to go over more of the specifics of our banking accounts, the current status of our water system, and where we would want to take this. So we've heard approximately from half of the users right now, and some of them are in the valley as well as people that live right here in the Pine. So
okay,
basically that's where we're at.
Any comments, questions?
Yeah, any comments, questions, council?
You said there are 2 wells. Do all of you draw from 2 wells, or do you each have your individual wells that are available also?
The users on our community water system did draw off the 2 wells.
The 2 wells.
Yeah. Okay. There are several homeowners in there that are not part of the system.
Okay. and then they have their individual.
Correct.
I'm assuming the city will be picking up the cost for the line installations.
We're gonna pay for the it'll take us 3 years to get, make any money on it, which is a short investment. But it'll cost, I'm thinking about $20,000 to do it right. The other thing is we're taking a line way bigger than they need, because everything, we want to make it bigger for the future where it loops around. And we may, Scott was talking about maybe crossing Burgess again down by Huntington. Scott? Yeah. And we're running 8-inch lines and things so that we have fire flows. So, and then that would become looped, if we ever did the distribution system. And you could put a couple fire hydrants in. So we will stick a fire hydrant over there. Just, A, we can flush, and B, it at least gets a hydrant on that side of the road so that if there's a fire, they don't have to close Huntington stretching across the street. And that's a big deal for the fire department.
So, refreshing here. When the water district was formed, wasn't Glenwood asked to join that?
When the water district was formed, Glenwood Acres wasn't in the water district boundaries.
Okay.
So there was no way the water district could serve water out there.
Okay.
I don't know, I wasn't here when they formed the district to see if they wanted to be a part of the water district, if they wanted the boundary to go up there. I don't know that part, I just know they weren't in the water district.
So there's no need to then?
True.
Okay. And then you mentioned that there are some homes in Glenwood that are not connected to your system. Is that correct?
Correct.
So if they're not connected to their system,
they have a well.
Have well, but if they're, that whole area is connected eventually to the water, city water system.
But then at that point that they would be, they'd get a bill and they wouldn't have any choice.
Okay.
All right, so that would be an informational, does everyone feel comfortable about that? I mean, I think it's a good, it's a slow transcript moving down the road, and as we move out that way, and it's inside the city, it's a need that these citizens need, and that's why we're here. And so we've got the water, so it's really a win-win for everyone. Giving them a solid, safe water supply. They don't have to test for at least the water source. They don't have to worry about pumps breaking down, all the little things that happen at midnight on a Saturday night with 2 feet of snow. The mayor won't have to go out. So, and we'll may take in other areas over time, as we move out toward Cagle subdivision, so.
Okay, no further comment or question. Thank you very much, Paul.
Thanks for coming down, Paul.
Well, that's what I didn't understand with those who have wells, whether they're all drawing off of the two. So thank you, that got that.
When we get our new ordinances from our big rate study, some of that will get into, because there's people that have wells now that are kind of out and around some of them use it for drinking, some don't. I'm not sure how that all works.
I could just tell you that we have people who have wells, and they draw water from their wells for their drinking water. And the system's been around since building out over a 5-year period from 1967. That'll tell you how old it is. And they chose not to be part of it. And there are people who are part of it because they pay an annual fee, so that if they wanted to join it, we would hook them up as a user, and they wouldn't have to pay a big fee. But the other people who decline to join the system and pay their annual fees are going to have a big SDC to buy into the system. So that's why there's 35 lots in there. We've currently got 24 users. Okay.
And so we'll put that out to bid. If we reach agreement with these folks, we've got Dick Norad working on the bid documents, because since the wells were having troubles, one of the things they didn't want to get it approved, and we spend months doing the design stuff. And so we're actually upfronting some money to tell your people. I mean, you know, we're trying to do what's right there. So we'll have it ready to bid, and hopefully some local contractors, the size of project, some of our local, couple of local contractors could get. So we will have to bid it.
Okay. Item number four on the added agenda is the deed dedication, Cagle Road.
Okay, this is the map of that little triangle slash, yeah, you need to, well, when we're all done, if you'll authorize the mayor to sign, but this is the road. You'll notice if you took away the diagonal stripes, goes straight, but the diagonal stripe shows, actually, when you're sitting at a stop sign, you're sitting over there on the right side of those stripes. So you're on private property, and that all came about when the gentleman just bought the lot, and he surveyed it. And that goes on all over, you know, and so he was nice, and Scott talked to him, and he said we could either move the road over, which then you're at an angle, and you don't want these angles, because then people are tilting their head back, and we know just from the highway what that's like. So this tees it up. Scott met with the man, and he was agreeable to kind of work with us. He just wanted to make sure it's legal, so if someone got in a wreck there, they're not on his property and all those things. So we went to work. The county, I called the county, said, would you do this? They did all the surveying and engineering for us as your part, because it's a county road. Cagle is one of our roads, and we'll take care of compensating the man for that property. Now, there's not a whole lot of property there. If you figured it out, you know, it would be, it's a hassle factor. So I baited him in with $500 worth of gravel, and he said that would be great. He was very nice. We didn't even do a calculation, and he trusts us. He says, no, I don't need a letter. If the council kind of goes along with it, you're all people of your word, is what he basically feels. And so this spring, whenever he's ready, he'll call us, and we'll order up some gravel, and he can tell us what size, and he'll get $500 worth. And he's going to put on his driveway. So no money exchanged for this. And if you would authorize the mayor to sign it, it'll be recorded, and the road will stay where it is, and that will become public property in the new boundary. And the old stuff stays too. It doesn't go to anyone else. It's just going to be a wide, big mouth. But it's all safe brush and juniper over there. No one knows that it's there.
Okay. Just a one-time.
Yeah.
Loaded gravel.
Yeah. Yeah, he signed it already. Maybe you could stiff him.
No, I mean, one.
I mean, I'm just saying, you know, it's a lot of time. Yeah.
Not every year.
You wouldn't do that, would we?
Is there any discussion, council?
No.
Being none, then I'll ask to entertain a motion to allow the mayor to sign this document, deed of dedication.
So moved.
Seconded. Moved and seconded. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 It's unanimous because there's none opposed. So.
Yeah, sign it. Give it to him. We'll send that to the county clerk's office to get recorded.
You don't want this one signed, do you?
I got one. She's got one, and she's got to notarize it.
Oh, that's right. Okay. It's got to be notarized. Okay. That's all we have of all those extra items.
Okay, with that, then we'll go to public comment, and I think there was a public comment. Please come up. Name, address, age.
Yeah. Do I have to do that? My name is
just
Martha Fosdick. I am a foster grandparent at Boston Elementary School, and my husband Tom and I have been in this area since August 19th. And we were here once before about a house. Well, we're investigating our options, so you don't have to worry about that, anybody. We'll hear about that maybe in a month or two. But while I'm here, I did want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for the derelict ordinance. When we were here, we looked at a lot of places, and we saw a lot of places, and there were neighbors that came out and were talking with us, and they said that some of the people that were in these houses had just walked off and left them. And in the meantime, I'm trying to be nice, but I will say that people that were homeless broke in. And it looked like they had a pretty good party. But it was such a shame because it was always on a lovely lot. But, I mean, you'd have to totally disassemble it. That's expensive. So either way, we were going to end up probably building a house. But some of those things were so bad, I wouldn't touch them. They were just scary, scary bad. So anyway, I'm just saying, I just wanted to give you my thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Fosdick. Any other public comment?
Don Greiner, 16489 Charlotte Day Drive. I just wanted to say that tonight you've passed a lot of ordinances and rules and regulations to improve the looks and the character of our city. And you know, as I sat here tonight and I watched all of the ties that came in here tonight, that really increases the importance of this dais. And in my opinion, it really makes a difference. And I think that it would behoove the council to improve their status in the community to come in a tie and dressed for the council meetings. Thank you.
Thank you, Don.
Where's your tie?
I'm not on the council.
Kitty?
Oh, you finally got me up here. Red one?
Yeah.
Okay. Kitty Shields, 51540 Shields Drive. First of all, I'd like to say thank you for the appointment to the Budget Committee again. I'm glad you have that confidence in me. I'm glad to help again. But I'd like a little clarification. You stated that it was to fill my term, which had expired.
I believe so.
Which would be a 3-year term. On the agenda, I just noticed it says for the fiscal year 2014-2015 Budget Committee.
Yeah,
so we want
term.
To be sure that
it'd
that's clarified. Yeah. So it is a 3-year term?
It's a 3-year term.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
This is my last time.
We hope to see you back regularly.
Oh, I don't know. I'm getting it loud off my chest today, so it's really feeling good. Tell you the truth, I'm going to really sleep good tonight. And the gentleman that you talked about on Cake Road, he's my next door neighbor, and he is an excellent guy, and I'm going to tell him to watch out for you guys. Okay, a comment on the money that you guys might have is that, you know, the banks will only guarantee up to $2 million, I believe now. It used to be $1 million, then they jumped it to $2 million. So something for you guys to think about, because if the crap hits the fan, you might never see the rest of your money. So remember that. So it's only guaranteed for a certain amount of money in the bank.
Yeah, there's actually a difference.
Okay. Well, anyway, that, you know, it's just from something I've known. Okay, and another thing I'd really like to see happen is that it's not what you know, it's who you know statement. That has been going on here in Lapine for 35 years that I've been here. It's got to change. So if there's someone that has a bunch of cars or whatever happening, that's as you have think there's maybe some leaking of them coming into the groundwater or blah 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 blah, they got to be treated the same. I don't care who you are, what your name is, or who you know, or who's on the board, or who's mayor, or whatever. And that has been going on for years, believe me. So I like to see everybody treated equally. I know a friend that I know this is in the city of the county, and they were hit with the same kind of ordinance you got hit down there, and they gave him 60 days. You gave the wood guy I don't know how many days. I know they were hit by the county, you were hit by city, but you can't, to me, you know, I know you, you know, everybody's got to be treated the same. So if this guy gets 60 days, the next guy gets 60 days. It doesn't matter if you're married to him. It doesn't matter. Everybody's got to be treated equally. It doesn't matter what your name is or anything. That's what I would like to see. Everybody just be treated fairly. And so if the council says that it's a 60-day gig and you got to get out or fix up your place, then that's what it should be for everyone. So I hope you guys can stick to your guns when it comes to that, because I've seen it for years. You've seen it for years.
These are all, they're actually case by case. So
just tell me, how can you treat them all differently? If they're all, just say, we're going to the dump things, houses look like dumps or whatever, or stores or whatever. So why could this store look like a dump for 6 months and this one only look like a dump for 2 months? You know what I'm saying? When you give them a deadline, they have to meet the deadline. Doesn't everybody have to meet the same deadline?
There's a lot of ways to look at it. I mean, I know what you're saying is very, I get the piece about who you are. That doesn't matter. It's like today probably someone on this road got a ticket for going 75 miles an hour and the next person got a warning. I mean, that's just a fact. They got pulled over, they got a warning. Not everyone gets pulled over, gets the same ticket. And one person might own a property, the next one is in a foreclosure and it's going to take another few months. So if that one takes 6 months, and you say, look to someone else, you've got to get it done in 3 months. We're going to be pragmatic about it and work with people. We are going to work toward compliance. But to say that if we allow one person 6 months to clean something up, that if we tell someone else you got five, it's basically a fluid situation, case by case, and we'll work through it. These ordinances only work with basically voluntary compliance. And that's reality. If you talk to the county, how often do they actually cite into court a code violation? It's rare. Because you do in fact get compliance. Remember, the goal is compliance. You take the wood yard, he has to be out on the 3rd of March or something. No ticket was ever written. And that's how we will do it. I mean, I think that's the only way it works. So I hear what you're saying on parts of that, but that's how code just same as being a cop. It's discretion. You have to use your judgment.
My comment on that, sir. Do you live in La Pine?
No.
I didn't think so. Okay. Well, my comment on that is that if you live here, like many of us do, you will understand what I'm talking about. It's not what you know; it's who you know, and that's got to stop. I don't care what your name is. I don't care who your brother is. It's got to stop now.
Thank you, Kathy.
Tom Kostick, Hammond Road. Regarding the Wickiup crossing, in the unlikely event that a semi with jackknife and capsize, we don't want a choke point on a major highway. I think the state of Oregon needs to be put on notice to maintain the existing crossing, even though it's blocked off or gated, so it could be opened and used. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Thank you.
Any further public comment? Hearing none, I will move to staff comments.
Just things make, we'll be here in 2 weeks for the ODOT type highway department stuff, so try to make sure everyone's here, and we'll go through those. And we did get our responses closed for the urban renewal. So I've got a phone conversation with one of the companies next Tuesday, I think at 3:00. So anyway, we'll start trying to pick that consultant. And we didn't get a lot of replies. There's not too many people do it. It's just, first, there's not enough people. There's 100 and some cities. And there was some legislation that was out there to actually reduce the ability of these. And I called and talked to Mike McLean's office, because he's a majority or minority leader of the House, and talked to their staff, and they said that the bill is dead on arrival anyway, so we're good on that. But that would have precluded us from moving forward
And it's really a fight. You know, taxing districts, special districts, are getting edgy over enterprise zones. So we want them to bring industry. You know, cities and counties tend to be okay with waiving the tax. But library districts, fire districts in particular, and other little special districts out there, parks districts, they tend to be narrower focused. And so they look at it as just lost revenue. And so there's a lot, and really where a lot of this comes from is the Portland area with the Portland Development Commission, the new motel at the convention center, where they're going to put $100 million in to help bait in a motel. And the Hiltons and the Marriotts downtown aren't happy. And so, I mean, there's always somebody driving this. And then Nike got the big tax abatement. So there is a lot of that, but that didn't pass. We're going to keep working on our budget stuff here with our summer. And I think everyone's going to like the results of all of that as we kind of work through. So should be here a couple months. And I guess that's about it. I was going to, we did interview, we have a vacancy on Public Works. So Sue came down and helped us interview today. And Scott was there after pumping, and we've been pumping and pumping, and I've been around and checked on him. And how many loads today? And Scott, you were everywhere, weren't you?
Yeah, and I lost count on just how many loads we got. We'll tally it up tomorrow and start again.
And in case anyone asks, we can't pump our way out of local flooding. So we've done about what we can do. Nature at some point does do what they're going to do. But I think it was good. And I don't know if you heard, Mayor, because the county debated the Huntington, the street project today. And I don't know if we got word that they approved it or something. But that I think with these emergencies, it is helping us. At least that's moved up the
top of the list.
Yeah, I think so. Hope so.
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, just understand at this time that, you know, we're doing, like say, we're kind of doing all that we can, because, you know, we have water school and use on Morrison Street, you know, so, you know, we can't just put two trucks sitting at Huntington in front of Little D. We got other places and other things to go do. So we're helping out all we can, but there is a limit to what we can do.
Okay. Thank you very much. Council comments? Stu? Okay. Karen? Ada?
I just want to say thank you to each one of you that came forward and gave us some of your input. Without your input, we can't function very well. So thank you very much.
Great. Yeah, I'd like to reiterate that. That's always helpful for us. Excited about all the things we got done tonight, and I look forward to seeing it through and watching our town get to where we want it to be.
Okay.
Since you asked again, I've been sitting on a committee that Dream to Skate Committee, which is with the Park and Rec District. And, you know, I think the city is supporting emotionally and, you know, behind the scenes, but it's getting exciting. There's some young students that they're spearheading this committee. They're in charge of it. Sharon Walling from the Park and Rec is their advisor, and they're having a fundraiser coming up in March 22nd. And I'm asking the mayor to put on the agenda for next month for them to come in person and give the council an update.
We can do that.
So that you're aware of what's going on, and bring your wallet, because they're going to probably ask you to buy a ticket to a breakfast. So it's really exciting. They're how they say it, they're stoked up.
How many are kind of meetings,
dude? Originally there were 12 on the committee. Now they're down to probably 8. and those eight are the more responsible ones that will probably see this project through. And they're learning the hard way.
Is this the one the Parks District's going to put in our triangle?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, the city is donating in a roundabout way that property. So that's the partnership that the city's formed with Park and Rec to the skate group.
To a skate group?
Skate group, okay. Yes. Okay. And they're running all the funding through the Park Foundation. So it's all up and up.
That's good.
And so if you have a chance, come back at our next meeting.
Are you talking about our work session, or are you talking the next one?
The next regular session.
The next regular one.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's on the 12th.
12th, I'm sorry.
March 12th.
Okay.
I would just like to say it's we had a great contest last year called If I Were Mayor, where the schools have a certain categories for each set, group of grades to participate in a picture, an essay, or a video, and that's the three categories going up from elementary to high school. To say what they would do if they were mayor. Now, it's a big contest and a big effort on the part of the Mayor's Association to make this happen. And every year they select three or one candidate, a first, second, and third from each one of those categories across the state for those cities that that participate. Last year we participated. We had 24, I think it was 25 entries. Only one of them did a video. There's one participant from the high school. And then the other 23 were in the other two categories. And I'd like to compliment the council at that time for taking these pictures and essays and sort of selecting which was the best and coming up with the winner for each one of those categories from within the city. And those three we submitted to the state. And when I went to the mayor's conference last year, they had those all up on the sides of the room walls in nice frames and everything for everybody to see what all of the winners got and what they had submitted. So last year, of course, we had a presentation right here in City Council chambers of the three that act, or the each one, the first one in each category, won $100 for participating, and the other two, second and third, we gave them certificates of participation. So I will kick this off by distributing it through the school system here in the next week, and hopefully we'll get more participants. So it was a great program. The schools were extremely appreciative to get it going, and I thought it was a great time. So that's what I had.
Well, I forgot to say we're working on the website, so this week they'll start adding things. Did you add any today?
We haven't.
But
you're keeping us busy.
I was, but the next couple days
we have a list.
Patty,
we're
going to
start
adding
tomorrow.
We had an hour and a half, 2 hour training yesterday. One of the things, you got to start putting stuff on there if you're, or you forget. So the website, hopefully we'll get it live here in a little while to show everyone what it is ahead of time. But right now we're trying to fill in things, you know, and
content
stuff.
Right.
And you know, it had what's his name?
Conrad
was above the mayor on the list, and I thought, you know, we'd have probably just the mayor would immediately notice that. So I lowered Conrad down, and things like that. So you know, it's that cleaning up stuff that we go through, and you'll be able to look at your little paragraph if you're not happy with your some little, because they probably took it off the other website because you haven't submitted anything. But we're going to start updating for things and getting it ready, put the RFPs on there that we have out, and they're still doing it. We did that. You two saw the card. We're going to have a direct mail postcard that will go out after we go live. We'll mail it ahead of time, but after it goes live, it will go out to, actually, we're going to go out a ways, not just in the city. We'll go out, you know, we're going to put out 2,000 of them. There's not 2,000 houses in the town, 1,600. So we're going to go out in a radius, and it'll tell people what to look for on our website, email, the addresses, and everything else. And so we want it to become a tool in the community for economic development. Jerry, our economic development person, is working on that part of the website so that we have it right. And we want people to know about the garage sales so they can add your garage sales on. And it'll map it out for you, your hours of operation, and then the fillable forms. First time I saw some of those, this is very nice, like a sign out. You want to do a sign application, you just fill it in online and it's fillable. So I think people will like the website. But I do have got them tasked with starting to add things. The goal would be March 1st. I was something like that. We should go there.
Okay. I've got to tell you, what we've already seen and we've worked up to this point, it's exciting because it's a gorgeous website. I think everybody's going to be proud of it. So having said that, that's all I have, and I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move we adjourn.
And moved.
Second.
And seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.